Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day?
That's right. It's all downhill from here as we cruise towards the weekend. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Morning, Mark Schlereth.
Well, good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
You want to get that first coffee slurp of the day out of the way?
No. I'm good.
Do it? Maybe I'll do mine.
Okay, go ahead.
I got my West Rock coffee.
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
See if I can do as good as you.
Let me see. It's not bad.
Not bad. Not as good as you, though.
No.
You are the slurp king.
You call me Slurpy.
Because, that's right.
Right?
Forget about stink. Call him Slurp.
All right. Good. It's good.
Boy, I'm glad I did not stay up for that ninth inning last night. I went to bed. Shame on me. It's funny because the Rockies are up 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
And they put across that big inning in the eighth to blow it open. I'm like, okay. I think this is safe. Although I acknowledged to myself, this is Coors Field. Anything can happen, but I think this is safe.
Right, yeah.
So I went to bed. And then I see in the morning it was 8-7 and they had to hang on for dear life. Might want to rethink the whole Jairo Diaz as a closer.
Well, I will say this. Jairo Diaz never expected to come in with a six-run lead. Like, you're not expecting to be the closer. You're not expecting to have to come in that situation. So, if you're the closer, you're expecting to come in close situations. Like, you're prepared for that. So, all of a sudden, when you have to jump up because you can only get a third of an inning out of one of your relievers, I think three hits, three runs, a third of an inning, and you got to leave him in there to face three batters. I mean, that's the new rule. So, you know, it became a save situation, but it's not your typical save situation. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, I mean, we talked about it. But what if Daniel Barr becomes the closer of this team? You know, I mean, just add another layer to the story that's already an incredible story. Amazing. And then talking about an incredible story. I mean, Chuck Nasty's playing Little League Baseball.
Kelly Leak.
It is, every time he comes up, he squares up the baseball. He hits a line drive somewhere. Hit them where they ain't. I mean, it is absolutely phenomenal to watch. You know, he's hitting 500 right now.
He's hitting 500.
500. I mean, it's otherworldly.
What does he have to hit? He's 34 for 68 this year. What does he have to hit in order for even the most old school stuffed shirts baseball people out there, the ones who compare baseball to poetry,
right?
What would he have to hit in a 60 game season in order for them to say, okay, that deserves to go down in the record books without an asterisk?
He's
going to have to hit 500.
I don't think so, but he's going to have to hit like 450-ish.
450, yeah. Yes.
But it's still, you know, it'll be a 60-game season, and I get that. I understand that. On the broadcast last night with Drew, he did not say deck shot. They did have a deal from their, what's their stats guy's name? That Dougie.
Yeah.
Dougie.
Dougie's a good guy.
Dougie's a great guy. So, he put up, I think Charlie's on pace right now for like 300 and, I think Ichiro has, does Ichiro have the record at like 260 hits on a season?
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie's on pace, like if it was a 162-game season, he's on pace for like 315 or 330 hits or something. I mean, it was just something crazy. It was craziness.
Yeah, Ichiro, 262.
Right.
In 2004. Beat the old record of George Sisler.
Good old George Sisler.
Set back in 1920.
Yep.
who beat the record of Lefty O'Duel.
Good old C.
They just don't make names like that anymore,
do
they?
Lefty O'Duel.
Don't make names like that anymore.
I guarantee you, Lefty O'Duel wasn't drinking non-alcoholic beer.
No.
O'Duel was straight up.
Straight up.
Like, give me the 8%.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Lefty was probably rolling out of the bars and then going four for five.
They called him Lefty because his one foot was shorter than the other. And when he started drinking, he just turned circles. Oh, Lefty's at it again. He's turning circles in the bar.
Ah, Lefty O'Duel.
I had a guy by the name, I played with, Eric E. He was a defensive lineman. Eric, what was his name? I can't remember his last name offhand, but he was a good player. Played in Detroit for a lot of years, played with me with Washington. We won a Super Bowl together. But one of his legs was shorter than the other leg. And I would once or twice a year come in, I would get a stack of bricks and I would tape a brick to all like his left shoes with the leg that was shorter than the other. He'd come in and he'd have bricks taped to everyone. I'd come in an hour early and
like,
tape bricks to shoes.
Clarence.
Yeah. Because I was like, you're always off balance out there. I mean, he's great. He was a really good defensive tackle. Great hands. Unbelievable hands. Why can't I remember his last name?
Hard Knocks debuted.
Oh, did it?
They're doing both the LA teams. I didn't see it. I'll catch up on it, but I don't have a whole lot of interest in Hard Knocks right now. But
knock on wood.
But I would think you'd be like one of the stars of a Hard Knocks, wouldn't you? Or would you go out of your way to avoid the spotlight, or would you?
Media stink or player stink? Media stink.
Player stink. Would you do these practical jokes?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
With the understanding that it would show up on, that it could show up on Hard Knocks.
Well, I mean, had I been playing here, I probably wouldn't have done it because it would have been subject to fines and subject to all kinds of things.
Would you still get fined? So you guys would have fined each other if you showed up on
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Absolutely. So the fines for me coming in early and messing with dudes would have, if that makes the cut, I would have been fined handsomely.
So, extra.
Oh, yeah. And then they would have just, like, even if it was innocent and somebody just, like, HBO just caught it and they figured out it was me. And even if I wasn't caught on camera.
Right. They just mentioned your name. Oh, Stink had to be up to that.
Yeah. Boom. I would have just gotten pummeled with fines.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys really did avoid the limelight, didn't you?
It was a fun game.
And now you're more than making up for it over the last 20 years. All right. Coming up next. What does George Karl have to say about the Nuggets playoff chances? What to do with
Mike? And I are about the same age.
What to do with Michael Porter Jr. And so much more. We'll hear from George Karl, our NBA and Nuggets playoff insider, next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
So pumped to have George Karl as our Nuggets and NBA playoff expert, insider. We had a chance to visit with him in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday, so we never want to leave you 6 a.m. listeners, the best of the bunch, missing out. So let you hear what George had to say about the Nuggets and what he had to say about how to handle Michael Porter Jr. in these playoffs.
Well, I think it's a conversation right now. I think Michael Porter Jr. played well enough and surprisingly at a high, high level that you got to put him into rotation, at least in the first round, and see how he does. Now, how and where I play him, in my mind, is not important at this time of the year. It's about playing. You're going to play, Michael. how I use you, be ready for a starter, be ready to come off the bench, and be ready to just play 5 minutes when I need you. I would communicate with my team, my top two players in Jokic and Murray probably, and see what they think. I, as a coach going into the playoffs, I would want to go in with my experience more than my not known. But, you know, because you got two guys, you got three guys mostly. Murray is playing now, but you have three guys that haven't played in much, and you don't know how well they're going to play, how rusty they're going to be. You know, I think in this 8-game pre-playoff scenario, I've seen a lot of good basketball, but I've also seen a lot of rusty basketball. And the rustiness, I think, is mental as much as physical. And I think, Mark, you know that playoff basketball and football, mental is really, really important. So I think these are all things that the coaching staff has got to muddle around and yell and scream at each other about and come up with a plan. And then also, what's great about the Nuggets is their depth is so good that I think, you know, Porter Jr. is not the only guy you got to talk about. You got to talk about some of the, you know, who you're going to play in the backcourt, you know. Monte Morris has played well, you know, but some of the younger kids have also played well. So I think it's going to be really interesting. The first round is going to really show, tell a lot more than I think these 8 games are telling us.
Visiting with George Karl, our Nuggets and NBA playoff analyst, expert throughout these playoffs. We're so excited to have him on all of our shows. Bol Bol has become quite the sensation for Nugget fans and for basketball during this whole bubble run. Is there any way you could see Bol Bol being part of the Nuggets playoff rotation?
You know, that's a matchup thing, I think. I don't think he has played well enough to get into the rotation on an every game basis. But I think he has played well enough to maybe have a 10-minute stint or maybe a shorter stint than that. And when you get in foul trouble or you get into a matchup that you might want to, you know, might want to mess with. You know, he's so skinny, and playoff basketball has a tendency to be more on the physical side. But he does have some talent, and there's some skills there that, and I think what I see in the team, and I don't know this for sure, but I see a team that they're really together. They're connected in a good way, and they have good energy when someone plays well. And I think if you played Bol Bol in, say, a 15-minute stint and he played really well, it would not only make him feel good, it'd make the team feel excited about what's going on.
Yeah, they do have that great connection. Michael Malone really does preach that as well. And you talked about matchups. Mike and I have been talking about matchups like that fit the Nuggets the best. And, you know, one is the Lakers. Like, it's almost that even though they're the number one seed right now, where if you get to the second round, you'd rather play the Lakers based on their backcourt and the lack of players in their backcourt, rather than the Clippers. What do you think about matchups in this playoff scenario for the Nuggets, both in the first round and second round?
I agree with you. I think the Lakers are in trouble. I don't know why. I saw last night's game, and the Lakers, I thought, were trying substantially harder to win that game than the Nuggets. And the Nuggets played better than the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers won the game only because Coach Malone didn't want to put back his starters. And I'm sure he has reasons for that. But I think the Lakers are struggling to try to find or recapture their identity. And they're going to say, well, we can just turn it on. I'm not sure they can. So I would definitely agree the Lakers would be easier, I think, in the second round than the Clippers. But I think the Clippers aren't playing well either. And I think the first round matchup, I said about two or three games ago that I thought Utah would be their best matchup in the first round. And as of now, I think they got Utah. But there's still some gamesmanship that's going to be played in these next couple games. Some teams are trying to win. Some teams are trying to lose. Some teams they have a matchup in mind, and if they can get through, they might be playing. They might have some gamesmanship going on out there.
Yeah, well, along those lines, George, we're visiting with George Karl. What was Michael Malone doing yesterday? What was his intent? Because he played 10 guys between 21 and 27 minutes, and that was a winnable game in the fourth quarter, but he kept his starters. There's a lot of speculation that the Nuggets, while not intentionally trying to lose, weren't bothered by the idea of losing because it would help them avoid playing Dallas in the first round and would increase the chances of getting the Lakers instead of the Clippers in the second round. Is Michael Malone consciously thinking of these things when he's making decisions like last night?
Well, unfortunately, you don't have total control. So I think Michael Malone is thinking about it, yes. There are matchups that their coaching staff feel more comfortable with than other matchups. But you don't have total control. Other teams are doing the same thing. So it's kind of like playing four-man chess. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that you think you know, but you really don't know. But I think he also was rewarding his bench. They played really, really well. And I think his bench is going to be a strength for them in the playoffs. And whoever he plays off the bench, it's going to be Porter, it's going to be Barton. Whoever comes off the bench, I think they're really going to be strong coming off the bench, which I'm a big believer in. I think your bench can win you one game, maybe even one and a half games in the playoff series.
All right, there is George Karl, who will be on with us throughout these entire playoffs as the Nuggets take on the Clippers tonight. Busy, busy day. We got the Avalanche playing this afternoon, Rockies tonight, Nuggets tonight. Busy, busy, busy day coming up. We'll get to the Morning Brew coming up next. And what does the Pac-12 and Big Ten shutting down mean for college football? And will the other conferences follow suit? That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
This ball's driven to center field, and deep's got a chance. It is gone. Two-run, Nolan Arenado home run. And the Rockies take the lead in the fourth. Dick shot.
All right, AT&T Sportsnet there with the call, the great Drew Goodman, as the Rockies hold on, became a nail-biter, but they get the win 8-7. And let's focus on the positives, starting with Kyle Freeland. Mark, he's back. He's back. Four straight starts. He's gone at least six innings. And yesterday he went seven, gave up only two runs. His ERA is 2.45. Whatever he did during the offseason to get right again, it's worked.
He took the noise out of his mechanics.
Ooh, I like that term. Right. Explain that.
Well, we've always talked about, and I've had this conversation with my son and many pitching coaches, the noisier mechanics are, meaning the more all over the place you are. Remember, he used to have that pause, and his when he come to the top, and then his foot would come down, and he'd pause, and then, like, he eliminated the noise. And so it becomes more repeatable, especially in critical situations. And he, a smoother delivery, and any pitch in any count. Like, he is confident any pitch in any count. He'll throw his slider. He'll throw his cutter. He'll throw his four-seam fastball. He'll throw his changeup. And, you know, he started the very first pitch of the game. He struck out the first batter in three pitches. The very first pitch of the game was a changeup at 86 at the bottom of the zone. I mean, like, he reminded me last night as I was watching, it reminded me of 2018. Hey, you lost two in a row. Hey, bring in the stopper. You know, that's what he was in 2018.
Yep.
He's eliminated that noise from his mechanics. It's very repeatable. And, you know, he's a couple of mistakes. And I shouldn't even call them mistakes. I mean, the one home run, the first home run he gave up was a good pitch. Location was good. He wanted it, you know, 4 inches higher. but it was still a good location inside. I can't remember who the batter was. Was it Wilson? Did an unbelievable job of getting his hands inside his body to get the bat squared up on the ball. I mean, it was a, to me, it was more of a really good approach at bat than it was, you know, a bad pitch.
And Charlie Blackmon, three more hits. He's hitting 500. 34 for 68 on the season. He's going full Little League on Major League Baseball.
Which makes me wonder, what's wrong with Charlie? I mean, can he just produce a little bit more?
Yeah, come on, Charlie.
Come on. I mean, hey, 3 for 4. Like, seriously, what's wrong, Charlie?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe Bud Black ought to sit in.
Maybe. Maybe he needs a mental health day.
Mental health day. You know, I loved listening to D-Mac have to eat crow yesterday.
Yeah, he's...
It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Classic backpedaling.
I was walking to the grocery store. I just stopped and listened to the whole segment. Yeah. Listen to D-Mac eat
just
crow.
Just giggling. Just giggling.
Like, yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Now caught up by Landeskog. In comes Landeskog for Soderberg.
Never gets old. Well, it'll be Carl Soderberg against the Colorado Avalanche as Arizona and the Avs get started this afternoon. Game one
Soderberg.
Of their series. Mark, is this just going to be the first step of many along the way to a Stanley Cup for this Avalanche team?
Boy, that's pretty lofty, isn't it? I mean...
It's lofty, but I think
it's doable, right?
I think it's very doable. I really do.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that your Western Conference representative in Lord Stanley Cup is going to be the Avalanche. What do you think? Is that a limb?
I love it. I love the pick. I think they have everything you're looking for. We'll see what happens with the goaltending.
What's the team in the West? Vegas.
Yep.
They lost in overtime to Vegas the other day.
Vegas turned around and won again last night. I think Vegas is their biggest bow. St. Louis is still there, of course, but
right.
I would say it'd be Vegas. But I love the Avs' chances, and it gets started today. I think they're deep. I think they're hungry. Again, if they get the requisite goaltending that they need, and boy, did the NHL playoffs get off to an unbelievable start. First game out of the chute, it's 5 overtimes between Columbus and Tampa Bay, with Tampa Bay, I think it was the 4th longest playoff game ever. Seth Jones, the defenseman for Columbus, played 65 minutes.
Yeah.
He played more than a full game.
You know the only sporting event longer than that hockey game from yesterday? Between the Blue Jackets and
Lightning,
you know what? The only was the ninth inning of the Rockies game last night. That was the only thing longer.
Oh, Johnny!
I'll be here all week, folks.
Oh, Johnny, you're so funny. All right, next on the Morning Brew.
I feel like, I mean, this offense for me, it's kind of the same. You know, for me, like at the end of the day, there's only so many runs and passes you can do. It's about executing. It's about being patient. It's about developing a relationship with your lineman. So for me, I mean, I don't worry about that. I know what I'm going to do. I know, you know, I'm going to have explosive plays because that's who I am.
There's Philip Lindsay, who's put on 10 pounds of muscle. He said that because his wrist was healthy, he was able to have a full off season. He was able to get in the weight room. He believes it'll make him a better receiver. He's here to push Melvin Gordon. He makes no bones about it.
Sure.
And I think, Mark, it's going to be a terrific situation for the Broncos. I think it's an ultimate win-win because Melvin Gordon, he knows who Philip Lindsay is. He's been with the Chargers. He's seen Philip Lindsay the last 2 years, 4 times, head-to-head. He knows what this guy's capable of. I think it'll be good for Melvin Gordon as well. Melvin Gordon already knows what it's like to be pushed by Austin Eckler. You think he wants to go through it again with Lindsay?
I listened to that whole press conference, and Philip Lindsay, like, you love Philip Lindsay, right? You love his approach to the game, but you want to talk about there is some good old vitriol when it comes to not toward Melvin Gordon, okay, but toward them basically doubting his ability to be the full-time bell cow. Like, hey, it ain't my decision. I don't call the plays. I don't decide the playing time. It's my job, regardless of how many. I've always been a big time player. I've always been made big plays. And, you know, when my number's called, I'm going to go out there and do the same thing. But I'm not, hey, I don't call the plays. I don't call, you know, I love it. You could just hear how pissed off he is.
Right.
About that decision.
Right.
It's a
win-win across the board.
Absolutely.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I just said from day one that it was important. I'm not a physician, but it was going to be very important that on a day-to-day basis that we would listen and follow and understand and appreciate and embrace the advice from our medical experts. And that's what we're doing here.
That's Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten. The Big Ten and Pac-12 shutting down football for the fall. The ACC, SEC, and Big 12 all plan on moving ahead. Do you think ultimately they will? Or will they eventually follow the Big 10 and the Pac-12?
No, I think, well, let me just say this. I think the SEC is playing.
The SEC is playing.
Right. They're
no
playing.
No doubt about it.
And I think the ACC is going to play. So
take it easy on that single off.
No, I think they're going to play. And ultimately, you and I talked about this yesterday, and you can say whatever you want about player safety and like, listen, I get all the concerns. I understand all that. This is about losing. It's a multi-billion dollar. Like, you just follow what's gone on in this country since the pandemic hit. How many people you know lost their jobs? How many people do you know that have filed unemployment? How many people do you know that have been furloughed? How many people do you know? I mean, you know what multi-billion dollar corporations do? They make money, Mike.
Okay, then answer this one for me.
All right.
I get that's why the Big Ten and Pac-12 shut down. Right. I firmly believe it's money. So these conferences that plan on moving ahead, how do they plan to do it in a way that they don't lose their shirts?
Maybe some of them, like, hey, listen, Alabama's not going to go broke operating in a loss one year. They're just not. They've got too much endowment money. They've got too much money. And I think you think
that these conferences are prepared to go out and lose money for a year? See, I look at it differently. I think they would only be looking to move ahead with this if they plan to have some fans in the stands too.
Well, certainly they could do it to where, you know, they're putting a limited number of fans in this. And who knows? And down south, they may just say, hey, just wear your mask. We'll be fine.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Syracuse is, my alma mater, Syracuse is in the ACC. They're not poor when it comes to their athletic budget, but they're going to get hammered.
Right.
So, you know, Boston College going to get hammered. Pitt going to get hammered. Some of these schools. So I'm curious how they're going to go ahead if we all agree that the main thing that fuels these decisions is money. I'm curious to see these conferences that if they decide to go ahead, you know, what their financial game plan is. We'll see. I mean, who knows? They may end up all following the other conferences, except for the SEC. The SEC will play.
Yeah.
And I believe the Big 12 will play, too. ACC,
too.
I still wonder about them. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Want to hear from you? Ramoslaw.com text line is open, 303-713-1043. We'll also hear from Jarrell Casey, the newest Bronco, and what kind of plans he has to lead this defensive line. That's next.
Yeah, you know, Spidey was hurt, but at the end of the day, you know, after a couple of hours of sitting back and having been in your thoughts, you understand that it's a business. And this business comes down to making sure you put the right people on the field that they feel is best. And, you know, teams coming for you, doing and feel like you can help that team out and build. And that's the process that we're in now. They brought me here to Denver to help this defense stay on top, and that's what I continue to do.
There's one of the newest Broncos, Jarrell Casey, talking yesterday. Man, I love that pickup when they got him, and I love it. I love it now. It made so much sense. I know there's some edited comments out there that make people think I don't like John Elway.
I hate Elway with my heart.
How I sound like Ozzie Guillen, I don't know.
The audio is clear.
That is not clear.
You said it.
That is doctored audio.
Benny captured it.
I hate Elway with my heart.
Identical. I mean,
after one game.
I'm ready to give Brock Osweiler $100 million guaranteed today.
That was edited as well. Creative editing. Very good editing. Slick editing. But editing nonetheless. But I loved the Casey signing, the Casey trade, because they had all those draft picks. Remember they had like 12 draft picks going into the into the draft? I was like, that's too many. You're not... There's no way in the 50-50 crapshoot nature of the draft that all 12 guys are going to make your football team. Better to use these chips, these assets, to go out and make some trades.
Right.
And I thought they made two really savvy trades in A.J. Boye and especially Jarrell Casey. I mean, Jarrell Casey is a terrific football player.
Sure.
A veteran, a leader. I'm not saying he's going to come in and make a DeMarcus Ware-type impact on and off the field. I mean, that was the unicorn right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it'll be far off.
Right.
In terms of impact on and off the field.
And, you know, especially, I mean, you said 50-50 impact or 50-50 proposition to draft. I mean, it's been a hell of a lot less with the Broncos. So, yeah, give away some of those assets. I mean, come on, you're giving away a seventh rounder, right? In the case of Casey?
Anyway, nothing. I mean, nothing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that makes, especially, you know, not that you knew it, but especially in this day and age of what's going on with the NFL, that you decided to go in that direction because, you know, you had no idea that, well, actually, you didn't know COVID was going to get to this point, I guess is what I'm saying, right? Because, like, these seventh rounders and these draft picks are going to have a much tougher time this year actually contributing to a roster. I mean, you'd have been better off giving away all your picks for veteran players that are proven.
If you're all about winning this year,
right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, that's where we are. But that was a great pick. And if you watch Casey on film, his ability to play multiple positions. So his ability, and he talked about it being, he talked in his press conference about being kind of Vic Fangio having a lot of the Dick LeBeau principles. Dick LeBeau was a coordinator, Dick LeBeau Hall of Famer, not only player but coach, was a coordinator in Tennessee for years where Jarrell Casey played in that kind of 3-4 defense where you shift down to a 3 technique. You're head up 4. Outside shade 5 technique over the offensive tackle. You're a 3 technique outside shade of the guard. And he's also played some 1 technique as a nose. So he's a guy that has versatility that can go up and down the line of scrimmage wherever you happen to need him. Or in Vic Fangio's case, and this is why it's a really good match for Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio wants to beat you matching up. Not what, like his whole thing is, let me see where I can get a 1-on-1 here and I can beat you with my player, as opposed to beat you with my scheme. Where can I get, like, can I line up Casey in a 3 technique, have Vaughn on one side, and have, you know, whoever else on the other side, a Shelby Harris or whatever, and can I get you with just that 1-on-1 matchup? My guy versus your guy, mano a mano.
Some more texts on the RamosLive.com text line, 303-713-1043 from Austin. Hey, man, I know it's lofty, but putting this kind of expectations on the Avalanche, that's a good thing. Yeah, it is. It brings me back to a really fun time around here when every single year you went into the Avalanche, coffee slurp number 2, everybody, Denver, with the understanding that it was at least Western Conference Finals or bust.
Right.
Anything less than the Western Conference Finals was a bitter disappointment. And really, the expectation was Stanley Cup or bust. I mean, that's what it was like around here. And it was cool. I mean, it was fun knowing that you were going to have these deep playoff runs into June. And this team, I think they're on the cusp of it. And I think Nathan MacKinnon is on the cusp of joining, you know, the sacred group. You know, the Sakics, the Forsbergs, the Waz. He's knocking on the door. He's at that next level below.
He doesn't have to sit at the kids' table at Thanksgiving.
He's still at the Avalanche kids table when it comes to the all-time greats. But man, he's close, and I think he's poised to have a unbelievable playoff run. He has everything about his game, his look. Look on his face. I mean, he just looks like he realizes this is his time.
And if he leads them to the finals, does he have to win to sit at that table?
Oh, yeah. No, you got to win a cup to sit at that table. Oh, yeah.
You got to have a cup.
Oh, you got to have a cup.
You can't just lead them because you wanted to do a video tribute to Varley for, you know, winning a playoff series.
Yeah, well, video tributes are fine. It goes video tribute, number in the rafters, and then sitting at the table.
Someone knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell. Someone knocking at the door. Do me a favor. Let him in. I tell you, he's knocking.
He's knocking.
He's ringing the bell.
He's ringing the bell.
He's right there.
Let him in.
As long as he doesn't fall for the burgers and sodas at Soda Burgers.
Don't get drawn in by Soda Burger.
Yeah. Don't get, hey, you hungry? I got a double-double. Don't fall for it.
But that's the next step. It's lead the Avalanche to a cup and be the playoff MVP along the way.
Right.
That's how you get to the table.
That dude is.
And he's ready.
That dude is fun to watch.
He's ready for it. I think he's ready for it. All right. Meanwhile, as one other texter put it, man, Charlie Blackman's going full softball league right now. He's hitting 500. What does he have to hit in order for there to be no asterisk attached? We'll ask our baseball insider, Pedro Gomez from ESPN. He'll join us next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.